North Korea's missile launch this morning is one of those stories where the timing is the story. August 6th is the anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima. Pyongyang almost certainly knows this. The launch came from the Wonsan area, one of their primary ballistic missile test sites, just one day after Kim Yo-jong issued a specific threat about additional military options against Japan over its defense buildup. So this isn't random provocative behavior. It's a choreographed sequence, threat, then demonstration.
And the Japanese context here is critical. Japan recently conducted its first test of U.S.-supplied Tomahawk cruise missiles, a capability that is genuinely new for the Japanese self-defense forces, and one that North Korea finds existentially concerning. For decades, Japan's pacifist constitution limited its military to purely defensive postures. The Tomahawk is an offensive strike weapon with a range of roughly 1,000 miles. From Japan's perspective, it's a deterrent. From Pyongyang's perspective, it's a first-strike capability pointed at their leadership.
Kim Yo-jong's specific warning about a military response to the Tomahawk test is worth taking seriously. Not because North Korea is going to launch a conventional war, they won't, but because it signals what Pyongyang is likely to use as justification for its next weapons test or provocative action. They're building a narrative. Japan acquires Tomahawks. North Korea fires ballistic missiles. Japan points to those missiles to justify more Tomahawks. It's a security dilemma playing out in compressed timeframes.
The broader regional picture has Japan, South Korea, and the United States in the middle of renegotiating burden-sharing arrangements and defense cooperation frameworks simultaneously. Japan's defense budget has nearly doubled since 2022, moving toward 2% of GDP, a target NATO members have been fighting over for years. South Korea is running its own parallel escalation, expanding its kill chain preemptive strike doctrine. The peninsula is genuinely rearming, and today's missile launch is North Korea's announcement that it's watching all of it.
What makes this particularly complicated is the domestic American politics layered underneath it. The Pentagon is apparently in crisis mode today, not because of North Korea specifically, but because of an angry call from President Trump about weapons shortfalls. The reporting indicates Trump was furious that inventory gaps are constraining American military options. This is directly connected to the drawdown of weapons stockpiles for Ukraine, the demands of the Taiwan deterrence posture, and now the demands of the Middle East following Iran's strikes on Gulf smelters last month. The U.S. military is being asked to deter four different potential conflicts simultaneously, and the shelves aren't fully stocked.
The $275 billion Golden Fleet price tag that the Congressional Budget Office released today is relevant here. Trump has pushed for a massive expansion of the U.S. Navy. The Golden Fleet concept involves building up to 355 battle force ships, potentially including a new generation of nuclear-powered surface combatants. The CBO estimate suggests this is fiscally enormous, and the timeline for actually fielding those ships runs decades into the future. In the near term, the weapons shortfall is real, and the production lines aren't moving fast enough to replenish them.
Zelensky's statement that Allied missile deliveries to Ukraine have fallen to one-third of previous levels ties directly into that same supply problem. If the U.S. has fewer Patriot interceptors, fewer ATACMS, and fewer artillery rounds in inventory than 2 years ago, that's not just a Ukraine problem. It affects every deterrence calculation from Seoul to Taipei to Tel Aviv. The crisis meeting at the Pentagon today is probably the most operationally significant thing happening in Washington right now, even if it's not the loudest news story.
Pentagon War Games had already flagged the aluminum supply chain vulnerability before Iran struck those Gulf smelters. Aluminum is critical for missile casings, aircraft components, and a dozen other weapon systems. When the simulation predicts a problem, and then the problem actually happens, that's the defense establishment's version of a very bad day. Secretary Hegseth, who is also managing a public criticism from Tucker Carlson over the Iran conflict, is navigating this while apparently trying to project confidence externally. Whether that's sustainable given the actual inventory numbers is an open question.